Now we're joined by Alison Keating, the practical psychologist, and Ray O'Neill, psychoanalyst with DCU. Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon, Ray.
Hello.
Thanks for coming in. Great to see you. So we get to them then. Dear Alison and Ray, I've been married over 2 years and my husband's sister constantly interferes. She interfered with the wedding and the hen party. Nothing was good enough for her. I've gone out of my way to be polite to this woman and she consistently puts me down and makes little of me when in reality she doesn't know me. She looks down at me and is constantly making condescending remarks about me and my messy home. I'm at the point where I'm actually going to tell my husband that his sister is no longer welcome in our home. I'm sick and tired of her absolute snobbery. Am I wrong to not want anything to do with her? I'm simply done with this woman. Am I wrong here? Ray.
Oh, look, I just want to know where this husband is. Like, what is he aware of the situation between you and his sister? Is he just saying nothing? Is he like, you have to have a conversation with your husband. You can't. I get that you're done with her. But he's not done with her. It's his sister. And so there's going to be an enmeshment around families. If you call this out and make a big issue of it, it's going to create a family split and you may not win on that side because blood is thicker than water. I would just have a conversation with the husband and just kind of go, look, are you aware? Does he see, to get some kind of validation or support, or at least to open his eyes to what you're experiencing and work from there?
So, yeah, the conversation has to be with the husband first.
Big time.
Alison.
I agree. I'm wondering where the husband is. And it doesn't seem to be that he's aware of it. So she definitely needs to say it to him. But then I'd also really consider having a conversation with her. Because I just find women are socialized to be nice. And they're sometimes not as well equipped to be direct. And I just think a conversation needs to happen here because you are going to be in each other's lives. Sometimes I just like genuinely going in with the most generous interpretation, like that some things, no, there's no generosity here because really they're just completely interfering. But I would be curious as to why. And I just find with kind of that type of relational aggression you get with women, that's very, it's very obvious what she's doing here, but it's not like outright ruining things. So those type of things can be very hard to call out and people can minimise. It's like, what are you talking about? But she's got very specific personal kind of examples here. So it's even with in relation to the messy house. I mean, that's a really nasty one. Like, and
personal,
actually,
yeah.
It's very personal. And when you get personal, you know what type of person you're dealing with, you know, and at the end of the day, no one actually knows what's going on for people, you know, behind closed doors. So she is interfering. There's something going on here, but I really would encourage women to actually learn how to actually express how they feel in a way that actually doesn't have to break down communication. Now, look, it might, but I'd still give it the chance that it actually deserves.
I'm wondering, do sibling relationships transfer to the partners of siblings?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, yes.
If she was like that with the husband,
right?
As in, she was always getting on to him about being messy and about doing this and doing that. And she felt, she's wrong, of course, but she felt that she could do the same with him in the married setting. What do you think?
Yeah, I could see how that could happen completely, you know. And I mean, it's like that type of like transference of, I this is how I have treated him.
Yes.
Maybe she treats her own husband like this and it actually isn't okay. So, I mean, I genuinely think there's room for possible growth here. But I wouldn't just cut someone off. I think we've got all a bit too easy just to cut someone off if they do something wrong. Have a conversation.
Yeah.
This is what adult conversations are about, you know, facing into things that are tough and then seeing how it lies. And being very, but going in very level-headed. Like if you go in very angry and, you know, this and that and the other, you just got, it is going to the eyes. Like, I actually feel very upset when you say my house is messy. It makes me very uncomfortable. I feel like you're looking down at me. Am I wrong in this? Mm. Like the question is, am I wrong here? But I would kind of put it back to her. Am I right in feeling like this? But that's how I am actually feeling.
So we've mixed messages here then. Ray, you're saying you have to talk to the husband first and you're saying have a direct conversation with the sister.
I would talk to the husband first too.
Okay.
Make sure you have an ally. Because even what you're saying about siblings, there could be an alliance or a loyalty between the brother and the sister. And you're just going, it's like Game of Thrones then.
Yeah.
You throw the cat amongst the pigeons. See where he stands, if he's aware of this. And then he might be able to advise you better as a, my sister, don't go near her.
Yeah.
Or I'd say, maybe I'll have a word with her, but try and create an alliance with your partner. Mm. That's the way a relationship should work.
I hope that works out for you. Now, Ray and Alison, I'm hoping to be divorced soon after a very bitter breakup. I have a daughter in her early 20s who will come to live with me when I relocate after the divorce is finalised, as she has nowhere else to live. My daughter has been quite spoiled and doesn't have a great sense of responsibility. She can be very lazy and does not pay her way. I don't want to come down too heavy with her, as the divorce will be hard enough, but I really don't want to move on with my life still looking after someone and running around after them. I want this new chapter in my life to be as stress-free as possible. How do I handle this without alienating my daughter?
So what I hear here is someone who's really exhausted after, you know, going through this divorce, and even the word "I hope to be divorced soon" shows that they see a light at the end of the tunnel, and they probably feel battered physically, mentally and emotionally after this. And now they're kind of like, okay, I'm now facing into, you know, difficulties here with my daughter. She's in her 20s. But I wonder, is there misplaced anger here? You know, when she says she's been spoiled, I wonder who she's been spoiled by. So perhaps she's feeling like some of this, I'm just assuming, has come from a, you know, maybe the father, you know, gave her things that she had said no on. So she feels like she's going to have to come up against this. And I mean, in terms of people in their 20s nowadays, I really genuinely feel incredibly sorry for people trying to get out and live on their own. It's exceptionally difficult. So I think it's about looking at the connection between you and your daughter. What fraught areas are there in the relationship? Maybe go and talk to someone about it, because it might be more, I wonder, is it a little bit entangled in the relationship with the husband? I just would clean it up a bit before you go anywhere near your daughter. I think do a bit of work yourself first.
And the divorce and the split between the mother and father is a big thing. So yeah, maybe trying to then start afresh with the relationship with her daughter, maybe she should put that off for a while. Do you know what I'm saying? Too much at the same time?
There's an opportunity in what's happening.
Is there,
because
right
now three is becoming two.
Right.
And so things like who's doing the housework, who's paying the bills, where there was potentially two adults, the father and the mother doing that before, now there needs to be two adults, the mother and the daughter. She needs to sit down with her daughter and go, you're in your 20s, you're a young adult, how can we do this best? Because I guess I'm also thinking, what about her relationship future? If she's divorced and there's light in the end of the tunnel, I'd like her to be able to go out dating and again have a very adult conversation with her young adult daughter, kind of going, look, we're both footloose and fancy free. How are we going to negotiate that? All young adults respond so well to being treated by adults,
as other adults. Yes,
so
yes,
I think there's a great opportunity
here. We're in this
here
together sort
exactly
of thing.
Exactly.
Mm. Yes, yes.
For
yeah
two women to be women together.
Yes. And you need, you know, you'll need to pull your weight.
Big time.
We have to do this together. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's, yeah. And there's a lot, I don't know what the statistics are, but there's a lot of divorcees out there now, isn't there?
There's an increase this year, isn't there?
Is there?
And the increase is with people who are in, they were very wealthy, so the split is huge. But also I'm thinking, is that why they're able to get divorced?
Uh-huh.
That they can actually
afford
buy
yes
two separate houses. And it's, yeah, it's an interesting, there has been a spike this year with kind of, you know, high wealth individuals who are able to afford.
It's an expensive business.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say people have looked at the maths and went, not for me. Yeah.
Again, it's not a coincidence that given Irish divorce laws, this is happening 4 years after COVID.
Yes.
That by the time you actually get around to having,
I think
your
it's not 4 years anymore. It's not 4 years anymore.
Okay.
No, it's been reduced. The I think it's 2 years now. Neva looked that up for me.
Cool.
It was originally four
yeah
years.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's less now. Anyway, I hope that works out. Ray and Alison, I'd like to ask you how best to handle a younger relative, whom I'm fond of, but who is light fingered and has stolen things from me. I don't want to fall out with her, but it is hurtful and insulting. Other people have noticed her behaviour and have dropped her, which she is hurt by, but doesn't seem to realise that people have become aware of her behaviour. Any advice appreciated, Ray?
Again, I suppose younger relative, if we're talking about a six-year-old, I might have one approach.
Yes.
If we're talking about a 26-year-old,
yeah,
I'd have a very different approach.
I think they're, yeah, a young adult, I just from
yeah
the phrasing of it. Other people have noticed her behaviour and have dropped her.
Yeah. then again, like what we were just saying, like respect and honour the young adult by having an adult conversation. Like this is criminal behaviour. Mm. This is a thief. This is not good behaviour to minimise or for their future life. So just have a very, very direct conversation coming from a loving, honest place. I'm saying this to you because you matter to me.
Yeah. And it could be a problem, as in
kleptomania.
So what would you do, Alison?
Well, I'm kind of laughing and I nearly needed to say to my family, this is the question that came in today, because I think situations can happen where it's done and they're not even aware that they're doing it. So I was missing some bangles and I was like, where are they gone? And actually my niece had borrowed them.
Right.
But genuinely, I think there was actually a mistake there, that she actually saw it on her sister's desk. Yes. And thought, that's mine. So within families, I think sometimes, again, like I agree with Ray, like stealing is stealing. But I think sometimes this is where relationship difficulties come into play, where you're like, well, this is family. I'm just borrowing it from you. Mm. So I think it's just, I would think this is an opportunity for, to say, this is actually not okay, because they're not a direct family here, right? And you've taken this from me. I see that you're upset and hurt when other people have dropped you, but they're going to continue dropping you and I don't want to damage our relationship. Therefore, you can't actually take something that doesn't belong to you. Mm. But again, I'd go in like not all guns blazing and have a conversation, because I do think a lot of people do have an issue with kleptomania. And then some people actually think that they can take things. So it's that kind of level of entitlement that we have to just kind of call out and say, that's actually not okay. You can't do that anymore. Yeah. So you're setting up a boundary.
Could it be a phase?
Again, let's be optimistic and hope so. But yeah, the words that really stood out, it is hurtful and insulting. I really felt that. If you are being hurt, you have to tell the person that's hurting you. They may not be doing it intentionally, but if you're feeling hurt, you owe it to the relationship to be honest about that.
Yeah. And you may, if you have that adult conversation with this person, you may be doing them a favour.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. There's an opportunity here. I think the person actually, like, they may not be aware, because they're still hurt when other people are telling them. So that's not taking responsibility for your actual actions. So, I mean, you're coming from a good place. I'm really fond of you. I really like you. But I cannot accept this in our behaviour, in our relationship.
Unacceptable behaviour.
Yeah.
Unacceptable behaviour. Right. Ray and Alison will return. Alison Keating, the practical psychologist, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Ray O'Neill, psychoanalyst with DC, thank you.
Thank you, Ray.
DCU, thank you. Yes. That's it from us. Sarah and Cormac on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.